You're good to go. There's nothing else to reach. You've got your doctorate. You're the best. You're the best of the best. But are you? Have you attained? Have you really gotten to the end? When it comes to God, complacency is a bad spot to be in. The reason being is because we look at God and we got him in his tiny little box. And we don't realize that God that we keep in that tiny little box, just like Israel did. You know, that's what Israel thought the Ark of the Covenant was where God dwelt. They kept him in that tiny little box. Not realizing that the God that they thought they were keeping in that box created universes, stars, and hung the stars not to move until they were supposed to rotate. And as we're figuring out, we're the ones doing more of the rotation. But we get complacent. We get self-satisfied in God. Well, we come to church. We're good people. We go to church. It's in one of our kind of our favorite movies, Gone Fishing, when Gus and Joe. Okay, I know I look back at one of them, they didn't remember the name. Gus and Joe, which is Joe Pesci and Danny Glover, playing the two dumbest characters they've ever played in their life, honestly. But it's fun, it's clean. And they're trying to figure out why all this bad stuff is happening, and they keep going, we go to church, and I think he mentioned it twice. He mentioned, we go to church twice. But that's because they had gotten to a point in their heads, they were good enough. Now, it's not that we're good enough for salvation. That salvation is ours. God wants us to know him personally. As a teenager, I didn't know God for squat, and I thought I did. As a young adult, it kept getting got a little better. And then when I finally gave my heart over completely to God at 21, I'm just telling you, folks, it's been 31 years since then, and I still don't know all of God. I still see more of him. I still see more of his mercy and his love and his grace operating in people's lives. And as I see that working in their lives, he shows me how I can turn it on into my life and extend it further. But there's this stupid little thing that creeps in. I'm complacent. We get comfortable, don't we? Just like our spouses. We get comfortable with our spouses. Oh, they'll do that. What happens one day when they didn't do it? Where's the cups? Why aren't there any clean spoons? Where's the groceries? Why is there no gas in my car? When are you mowing the grass? We take somebody for granted. Because we got self-satisfied that we were good to go. Instead of realizing that it's an ongoing relationship. You have to keep nurturing the relationship, just like with God. Folks, coming to church is awesome. That builds us up. But you have to take the personal time. You have to talk to God. I'm not one that'll tell you to go find you a closet and get in there on your hands and knees. Now, if God tells you to do that, that's what your heart's doing. You had better doggone do it. I go to my workshop. I go for a walk. I talk to God just like he's my friend. Because guess what? He said in the book of John, you are my friends. I don't call you servants anymore. It's in John, I believe, 13. I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends if you do my commands. And he said, the command I want you to do is to love one another. That means we don't stop. We never stop loving one another. Even when we see sin in somebody's life. And yes, sin is real. We're being dumbed down to think that sin doesn't exist and we just should be all accepting. Here, I got some cyanide. Anybody want to try it? I mean, from all the spy movies I've seen, just a little bit can make you foam at the mouth and die. But just because we see sin in somebody's life doesn't mean we stop loving them. But complacency will do that. Complacency brings in self-righteousness. I'm good enough. I take care of OCC. I lead the praise and worship. I head up the junior church department. I head up the nursery. I preach. That's where self-righteousness comes in. Not realizing that it's our job to stay fired up. I'm going to open this up here real quick today. Do something. I've done it from time to time. A little class participation. And all the teachers know about what's about to happen. Everybody's going to suddenly sit on their hands and get quiet. Nobody wants to participate. Let me dig my eyeballs out here. I've got an appointment to get new ones, which is good, because these things are terrible. What are some synonyms for complacency? In other words, words that we use to describe complacency. I'm going to start right here.
Laziness is what came to my mind, but...
Okay, it's in there. Now, just so you know, there was 171 synonyms according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I didn't write down 171. I don't have that much time. All right, anybody else? Somebody, come on. Yeah, that's getting there. Yep. 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 Ritual. Okay, I had two at the same time. Neglect, yeah. There was another one. Careless. Yeah, we get careless. Mm-hmm. How about half-hearted? Mm-hmm. How about tepid? Mm-hmm. How about lukewarm? I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is what God is saying to a church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined into fire that you may be rich and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Hold on to that eye stuff. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous to repent. How about aloof? He mentioned cold. How about numb? You sleep on your hand too long. Oh, I can't move. It hurts. Don't touch it. Remote. Unemotional. Calm. Cool. See, we think that's a good thing. Be calm and cool. I'm not talking about spastic. Okay? There's a time you need to calm down. Church is not the place to be calm. Respectful, yes. Detached, dispassionate, stoic, lethargic, unimpressed. When we can say we're unimpressed with something, we've hit it. That don't impress me. Now, I'm not talking about people flouting all their accomplishments, all their riches. I really don't care. I'm not motivated by brand names. I've come to find out there are certain brand names that are pure tea garbage, but they have the brand name. So that stuff doesn't impress me. Quality, the quality of an individual. Who are you really? You know, I've met people that before I had ever met them, I just took one look at them, and because they looked like somebody I knew, I already had them judged. Oh, this particular person reminded me of my great-grandfather, who was not a pleasant nor nice individual. His idea of fun was making a belt, and he made belts, and then trying to spank you with it. And I had a belt with my name on it. That's how come I became really fast. Because he would try to get you on the way by. Now, it'd be one thing if I was given a belt to defend myself. But he didn't play that way. And my great-grandfather was a miserable man. But I judged another man because he looked like him. He had similar features. And what I found out about this other man once I got to know him is his heart is as big as this room. His love. And I get to call him friend. He's a good man. But I was judging him because he looked like my great-grandfather. Was it fair to him? That's why Jesus told us not to judge, lest we be judged according to the way we judge. I don't want to be judged because I look like somebody. Complacency sneaks in. It creeps up on you. You don't set out and say, I'm going to set a goal to be complacent today. Did you? How about if your desire, your dream is to be a world-class athlete? And I mean 1%. You want to be the fastest person on the planet. You want to beat Manute Bol in basketball. And I'm trying to think of the Jamaican, Usain Bolt. I wanted to say Lightning Bolt, and I knew that wasn't right. That's the place that sells bolts down the road. Usain Bolt, you want to beat his record. Are you going to beat his record by eating ho-hos and ding-dongs every night, drinking a gallon of Mountain Dew, and never running? No, you're not. And folks, if you're doing that, and you young folks in particular, I'm going to tell you right now, that metabolism does slow way down. It slowed way, way down. Each one of my boys, I gained 20 pounds. I said, God, this ain't fair. It's really not fair. She has the baby, and right off the bat, she loses up to 8 pounds. I'm still sitting there holding that extra 8 pounds. I'm like, I gained as much as she did during this. Why? Because it's called sympathy eating. Ooh, she's got a snack. What? Or worse yet, here, you want some of this, dear? No, I really don't, but it looks so good, I will. Thank you. But we become complacent with God when we don't read our Bible. You do not have to study the Word every morning and break it down into the old Greek, the old Hebrew, and study out 16 ways that you can look at that word, what imagery they were trying to create, whether how they used it, what if they used any prepositions or not, whatever. You can do all that if you so desire, but trust me, it's going to take you hours. That's why these devotionals are a great thing. You can sit down and read them. You know, I have to think of David when he said, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. He didn't have the book of Psalms to write this. He was writing the book of Psalms. He just shared his heart. How he was feeling right then. Oh God, you alone are my strength. And we forget that. We forget that God wanted a relationship with us from the start. He didn't need something else that could stand around singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. He created four creatures that stand around his throne day and night and do that. He created us because he wanted to get to know Karen. The daughter of John and Grace. That's who he wanted to know. He didn't want to know the religious Karen, who just said, yep, I'm here, okay, I'm gone. And forget about you the rest of the week. You know, I got the fortunate experience of spending the first 6 months of my marriage away from my wife overseas for a total of 18 months separated. But let me tell you, folks, there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about her. And there wasn't hardly a day that went by that I didn't write her. Thank God stamps were cheaper then. Turnaround's a little slow. Hope you're not waiting for a real answer to that question, because it's going to be 2 weeks. My thoughts were always with her, and I know vice versa. But here's where you really become complacent, when you see him every day. When I redid her bedroom here in town, when we lived in town, I redid her bedroom, and she had a little thing put up on the wall. If I got the right one, I know we had it on pillows. It said, "Always kiss me goodnight." Now, if I got the bed first, I would try to lay there awake to get that kiss. And if I was watching TV and she was heading to bed, she usually would kiss me on the way up. But that is something we do try to do, is always kiss me goodnight. Doesn't matter if we just had a knockdown drag out. And sometimes that's when the devil likes to stir the garbage, isn't it? When you're getting ready to go rest. Why did you park there? What difference does it make? You know that was the wrong answer right off the bat. We become complacent just coming to church. We sing our five songs, clap our hands, we sit down, preacher preaches, says a prayer, give an offering, we go home. We don't meet anybody new because, well, we don't want to talk to the new people. You know, they got cooties. No. Well, do you know they took my seat? Since when do you have a seat? You only get to sit because I bought the chairs. Otherwise, we could sit on the floor, and then there's lots of room. If we want to go back to Jewish traditions, you will sit on the floor. You will drag your cushion from home, and you will sit on the floor cross-legged. Have fun with that. I think it was with Joshua yesterday, and I was getting down, and he's like, "What was that noise?" I said, "I'm sorry, that was my knees." You're creaking, and you know, I get down on the floor. It's going to be a minute to get back up. I can do it. I can get up fast one time. But over the course of the last couple weeks, the Lord has really been dealing with me about some things. Because I've been praying. I'm like, "God, what do I do? How do I do this?" And one thing he keeps reminding me, he said, what you allow in your own life, the people will exemplify. They will amplify. I allowed it. I allowed it in my own life. I'd become comfortably numb. And it was wearing. It was getting me. You know, it's just like working all the time and never taking a break. And I realized I'm allowing things that shouldn't be. And I've allowed this. And now what's happening is the devil comes after me, he's coming after you more. So one of the things, and this was actually part of our couple's devotion this morning, this is Jesus talking. He said, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there's a plank in your own'?" Some translations say log. Others say a beam. But nonetheless, if it's a toothpick, it's going to hurt. And all that we look at our neighbors and we say, oh, look, hold still, you got some garbage in there. Now, mind you, you've got a beam in your own eye. Pirates of the Caribbean, can't remember the guy's name. One gets a fork in the eye, wooden eyeball. Everywhere he looked, I think that is hilarious. He'd look up, the eyeball, the fork goes up, and the other pulls the eyeball and the fork out and then pops the eyeball back in. But that's what it's like. We're trying to look, but every time we look, we're hitting the person with our own sin. We're beating them up for less than what we've allowed. Hypocrite, you actor. That's what the word means. It means you're an actor. You say one thing and you live another. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You've got to deal with you first. So I had to deal with me. I had to repent of being complacent with him and my relationship. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you get complacent in your relationship with God, your relationship with your significant other drops. It gets strained. You want God in your relationship, or you want a good relationship? Get God in your relationship. Without God, your relationship is... something else there. Oh, I did. I guess it said the same thing. And why do you look at your brother's with a speck in his eye and you got this log, this huge thing sticking in yours? And like I said, that's what God has been talking to me about. He's been trying to get me to see I have got to make sure that I'm on top of my game. Okay, I'm not combat fit anymore. I'll just tell you that right now. In my head, I got one round. It's a short round. So I got to make everything count. But when I was combat fit, I was 128 pounds, not 198. I could see with no problems the end of my rifle to see that front sight post clearly through a blurry rear aperture. And hit a target 500 yards away. I could do that. Now I'm thinking of going with optics. Things with laser lights on them. So I don't have to look so hard. I could run 20 miles and that's no joke. I could run 3 miles with combat gear on. And nearly die from it, even conditioned. I could do all that. When I got out, I got complacent. Very complacent. But I no longer had to do that. See, to be where I'm at, Paul put it this way, I buffet my body as a prize fighter. Not just one who's shadow boxing, but one who's actually hitting the bags so that my body knows what it feels like to hit. I'm disciplining myself in the off hours of training. I'm eating the right foods. I'm staying away from things that'll bring me down and rob my strength. And that's the way we have to be, folks. We have to be more ready. We have to be vigilant. As Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not a roaring lion. Understand this first and foremost. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil runs around acting like a lion. He's pretending. He is not a lion. He is a creature. Lucifer himself is a creature with instruments built into him. He was a literal one-man band. The horns that we all hear about Lucifer having, they aren't the pokey goat type. They're piccolos, they're flutes, they're trumpets, they're trombones, they're saxophones, French horns, bassoons, oboes, tubas. I might have named them most of, even the awful recorder. I ain't heard a song yet that was actually good on that thing. But then again, I've been told I'm tone deaf a little bit. But Peter was here saying, be sober. That means self-controlled. That's exactly what the word means. I'm in control. That is why Peter also said, do not be drunk with wine, which in itself is sin. It lies there. Why? Because you're not in control. I've known so many people that knew better than to go drink and drive. And you know what they did? I got the keys. I'm okay. You get the scene? They knew better. Oh, I love my wife. 6 beers later, hey, sugar. I ain't your wife. Oh, she won't know. Want to bet? We have got to remain in control of ourselves. When we lose control, we open ourselves up to everything. That's why you have to have the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. That's why the devil can steal it away from people. When Jesus was given the parable of the sower, he said some seed went out there on the sides where there's a lot of stones and the ground was a little too hard and the birds came down and they stole it. That's what happens. Even today, this message I'm telling you, somebody, the devil, is going to come down, land on your shoulder and say, eh, he's not quite right. You're a good person. Be careful when the voice in your head says you're a good person. It's not always God talking to you. You can be a good person. You need to be a good person. But you don't need to keep telling yourself you're a good person. Neither do you keep telling yourself that you're worthless and you're useless. That's just counterproductive. Strive to be better. Well, I didn't open the door. I didn't smile at anybody. You know, I will share this. Get my days right. Friday. Was it Friday? Yes. It was Friday. I needed a sandwich. So I stopped at this little deli in Crestline. And I finally got my truck around there to park. And I knew the gal that was sitting on the front park bench was the gal who was going to make my sandwich. She just sat down with a cigarette. Now, I've run into this before, once with a barber. She just looked at me and said, I'm going to smoke my cigarette. And I said, by all means, do not let me stop you. You're going to be near my head with scissors. So you just go smoke away. And so I got down and I could just see the life drain out of this woman, besides the fact the cigarettes are doing that to her. But I could just see, again. And she started, can I have a couple more puffs? I said, no, you can smoke the whole thing. I'm going to sit down next to you. Yeah, I got a whiff of the cigarettes. I mean, I've been cleaning in a house for 3 weeks that made the ceilings in here look like they were white. That's how bad they were. They looked that color over there, and they were white. So, I'm like, yeah, this is good. I'm good. I sat there, and I got to talk with her. Do you know how many people, and if I'm bragging on myself, I am so sorry you're taking it that way, would have said, no, you need to fix my sandwich. And then you can come out and finish smoking a cigarette. But she told me, she said, I have been out here 3 times just trying to smoke this one cigarette. Now, when you have that monkey on your back, you need that cigarette. That is the most important thing in life next to your next breath. And if you never had that kind of addiction, praise God. But let me tell you right now, I know people who have had it, and it is life to them. And they don't need condemnation. They need support. They still need to talk. And we just sat and talked. I found out both her parents are gone. She shared a lot about that with me, but she would have never opened up to me had I not sat down with her. So, and by the way, I never did tell her I'm a preacher. I quit doing that. But the devil walks around seeking whom he may devour. He ain't here to play tiddlywinks with you. He's here to rip your jugular out. I came across a video, and I think it was at a zoo in China. There were wolves and grizzly bears, or big brown bears. And three bears had a wolf, and it was still alive. And they were playing tug of war with it. And I thought, why is this on Facebook? And what moron sat there and watched this? Because the other two wolves were trying to get the four bears away from it, because there's one that was playing guard. But that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wasn't one to play fetch. One wants to grab you by your throat. One wants to grab you by your hind leg, your front leg, and then the other one's going to try to go for your ribs and pull you apart. That's what the devil wants to do. That's why Peter said he's like a roaring lion. He's not here to have fun and play games with you. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. Your brothers and sisters all around the world are experiencing the same thing. So when you realize that, you don't have to live in condemnation. Oh, I'm just a bad Christian. No. If you recognize it, you repent, and you're changing, you're an awesome person, an awesome Christian. A bad Christian is the one that says, I'm good. I don't need to change. We all need to change. As the Bible puts it, from one degree of glory to the next. And it's the image we're trying to become is the image of Christ. Went a little too far with a dry throat. So that is what we have to do. We have to stand fast against the devil. We have to resist him. You're just like a football team. You're on the line. They've got you backed up to your own 1 yard line. At that point, scoring is almost inevitable. Because they can send a good running back up and over the top, no problem. That's only 3 feet. I mean, I can fall forward 3 feet. But if that defensive line is good at resistance, they can stop them. They may have to find something. That's why they got back here. They didn't find it up there when they were on the 30. They waited until the 1. And then they found it. And they dug in. And they kept fighting. And they stopped them. That's what we have to do. We have to be steadfast and ready. Looking. When you have a victory, look. I'll just tell you straight up. When things are... Look around. The devil always takes opportunity to throw things at your way, to stop you. So if there's anything you can take away from this message today, shake yourself. Back in the 80s, Steve Camp wrote a song called Shake Me to Wake Me. We're living in a fantasy world, folks. Oh, all's going to be good. No, all's not going to be good. Read your Bible. It's about time the church starts reading and believing the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, the life, the one and only way. The second you start doubting that, you're on your way down. I want everybody to stand. All right, everybody. Everybody's eyes are open. Everybody's coherent. Now, I'm going to stand up here. We're going to do an exercise. Class participation is required. Because we will not stop until everybody's doing it. Shake it. Come on. Shake it. Shake your shoulders. I don't care. I want to see it. I want to see the shaking. All right. All right. Outstanding. You just shook the complacency off. Shake it. Don't be like Samson. Six times before he jumped up. Well, it wasn't six, but he jumped up, shook the ropes off, snapped the ropes. But that last time, when the Holy Spirit had departed from him, he jumped up with the same enthusiasm, but couldn't shake what bound him. Because he had turned back from God. He broke his covenant, which is his promise to God. And he couldn't shake the sin. God's will for Samson was not to die. His will was to lead his people. What Samson did was chose to live with the sin. Let's not be Samson. I heard it once said, the saddest scripture in the Bible was when it says, and Samson rose up but did not know the Spirit had departed. Do you understand what it means for the Holy Spirit to depart from you? David lived a life, he had some sins. Sins. And he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. David knew he needed God's Holy Spirit. It's not a promise that we're not going to get hit. It's a promise that he's going to be there with you. So understand that. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we stand before you. Lord, a people who have shaken off the complacency figuratively. Now, Lord, help us all to shake this complacency off spiritually. Lord, may that burn, that desire for you come back. Lord, may we be broken. Father, deliver us from the traps that the devil has set for us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, your word says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. So, Father, may we walk in those steps. You're the one walking through the minefield. You're the one ordering us. You will not let us step on them. And if we do, it's because we stepped out of line. Father, I pray that you help each and every person here today in their walk to get closer to you, to know you. Father, I pray that you move in their lives miraculously. Show yourself to them as the loving Father that you are, as the majestic King and Lord, as the Almighty God, as the Most High. And now, Father, I thank you for these people today. Lord, I pray that you begin to move in their lives. Father, you bring them through that valley of the shadow of death, and they will fear no evil. For you are with them. Lord, order their left, order their right. And though 1,000 may fall at their left and 10,000 by their right, no harm or evil shall come unto them. I thank you for them, Father, and pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.